Okay, we are in Maimer Hasheni up to Eischof, a very challenging and difficult and halacha piece, a piece on which the Chazon Ish has in his sefer tremendous arichos. We had the discussion flowed because there was discussion of Eretz Yisrael being the primary point in the world, and the Khuzar had questioned why China is the beginning of the dateline. And once he got into that discussion, as is the style of the Khuzari, he goes off into a discussion of the dateline. And there's one thing he says, which is the subject of all the controversy, and it's absolutely clear that the Shita of the Khuzari is that the international dateline is 6 hours east of Eretz Yisrael. We discussed last time that is rounds out to being the coast of China, although the coast of China, as it moves northward, extends to further east, and it becomes actually Russia above China. And Siberia, as you know, sticks out all the way to Alaska.
When it's noon in Eretz Yisrael, it's what time in China?
When it's noon in Eretz Yisrael, it's 6 hours later in China. The sun comes up in China, and then comes up in Eretz Yisrael. So that from China to Eretz Yisrael is like from New York to L.A. The sun comes up in New York and eventually makes it to the West Coast. The sun comes up in China, makes it to... So if you picture the map, I should have brought a globe, except I don't have one. But there's one in the yeshiva I could have brought. New York to LA is 3 hours, and China to Israel 6 hours. I only meant the direction. I only meant this example. All right, now, here's where it gets tricky. Let's begin. It will be absolutely clear soon from his words that he holds the dateline is China. Although, look at how he begins. Amar Achaver. Haloyascholas HaShabbos Eino Kiyim Misinai. Shabbos began at Sinai. Where in the world is Alush? So actually, there's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, "Vayachnu ba'Alush." In the Masois. What happened in Alush? What happened is before they got to Har Sinai, the mon came down, and in Midbar Sin, and they traveled to Alush. Alush was the first Shabbos after the sun came, after the mon began to come down. And obviously, there was Shabbos, because on Friday, a double portion fell, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going on? And he told them, okay, it's going to be Shabbos. So the words of the Chaver here is that the first Shabbos was in Sinai. Now, you have to remember the Shita of the Khuzari, which we had last time, is that Sinai is part of Eretz Yisrael. So when we talk here about Mibar Sinai, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. And he's saying that the... Shabbos began, the very first Shabbos, at the moment it began in Eretz Yisrael. Shiar and Haman by Tchila. If you have the print I have, you have to jump from page 39 to page 48 because of the long essay of the Kol Yehuda here. Shiar and Haman by Tchila. The man fell there first. V'chi HaShabbos Nichnas, or V'chi HaShabbos Loi Nichnas, Ella Elohim is chutz, as it says in the bottom. Al misha ba'al of Hashemesh achar Sinai. So the first Shabbos began there at Har Sinai, or Alush, right near Sinai. And that's where Shabbos began. And then Shabbos continued as the sun continued. Shabbos began with sunset. As the sun continued to set, the sun was setting in Eretz Yisrael. When you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, think of a map, you know, a flat map. The sun is setting in Eretz Yisrael slowly. The sun is traveling westward, so the sun is on the horizon. Slowly, the darkness is proceeding from Eretz Yisrael over the Mediterranean to Italy and to Greece and to France and to Spain and then to Britain. Right, the sun darkness is continuing. Like when the airplane, they have the map, they have the darkness and the light. Right, so the darkness is moving in that direction. In Shabbos, when it began in Sinai. And Shabbos continued. It wasn't called Shabbos till then. It was the seventh day of the week. It was maybe Saturday. But Shabbos, the name Shabbos began there, and it continued to move westward.
This was after Matan Torah?
Well, either at Matan Torah or in Alush beforehand. He allows for both. To a certain degree, there was a Shabbos before Matan Torah. To a certain degree, there was a Shabbos after Matan Torah.
When did Mun start? The Shabbos after?
Prior. It started during the week before.
Before Matan Torah?
Yes. Yeah, because you can complain they don't want to eat well before Matan Torah. So, okay, Shabbos Hashemesh Achar HaSinai Ala Darga Ad Achris Ma'ariv. Shabbos kept on going till you get to the extreme west. Now we're going to have to explain extreme west because the world is round. If the world be flat, you could get to the end of the west. Well, you can't get to the end of the west. Now that's going to be crucial in explaining this to understand what does it mean, the furthest point west and the furthest point east. Right? North, you have the furthest point north. So you go up, 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 you get to the North Pole, and you keep on walking, suddenly you're walking south. But when you go east or west, it doesn't work that way. You keep on going west forever, and you just make circle and circle and circle the world. So what does it mean, extreme west? We're going to get to that. But Shabbos started from when it was given and extended to the west. Then it went to the part of the globe under the earth, under relative to Eretz Yisrael. V'akachar Hatzin. And then till China, Asher Hu Mizrach HaYishuv, which is the easternmost point of the civil of the settled world. V'yikare Hashabbos Litzin, and Shabbos will occur at Sin Achar Eretz Yisrael B'Shemayna Esrei Shoyes. 18 hours later, Mishar Eretz Yisrael Be'emtsa LiYishuv. Eretz Yisrael is at the center of the settled world, which extends from the tip of Asia to the tip of Europe. Ukashaba Shemesh L'Eretz Yisrael, Ukhatzi Halaylo Litzin. And when the sun arrives in Eretz Yisrael, it's midnight in China. Is that correct? It's midnight in China. The sun rises in Eretz Yisrael. It should be noon, actually, in China. What? Noon in Eretz Yisrael is sunset in China. That's true. Right? The sun is in China and then it extends. So midnight, midday in Eretz Yisrael is sunset in China.
Did you say when it was noon in Eretz Yisrael at 6 p.m. in China?
When it's noon in Eretz Yisrael, it's 6 p.m., which is sunset. Right? Yes. That's what he's saying. When it's noon in Eretz Yisrael, it's 6 p.m. in China, which is sunset on a day which is 12 hours day and 12 hours night. So that, this all needs to be explained, but so far he's explaining the astronomical facts. That's the secret that the Gemara calls the secret of 18 hours. If the mylad of the moon is before noon, then the moon was seen before sunset. What does that mean? The Eretz Yisrael is the main place. I'll explain the 18 hours in a moment. From there starts the counting of days. Shame liyamim, and that's where Osham liyamim started there to give call the days. V'chol asher noish v'haaretz v'robu b'nei adam. Wherever you have human beings living, how you sefer mayamim kashi yaser oisam adam. They count the days like Adam did. Alken lo yechalku b'nei adam b'shivas yimeshua. Whatever world part of the world you go, it's amazing. Everyone counts 7 days to the week. Okay, that a day is from sunrise to sunset is astronomical. That you have a moon that gives you a month. That's astronomical. But why 7 days to a week? There's no astronomical reason for that. So that's because the Hashem created the world in 7 days. Every civilization accounts to 7 days. Now, this needs a lot of explanation, so I'm going to try to explain. This is based on a Gemara. The idea of 18 hours, the Chazei Nish called his kuntres on the dateline, kuntres Shmoneh Esrei Shais, the kuntres of the 18 hours. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is quoted here, says Shmuel was bragging. Amar Shmuel, Yichayni l'skunei l'kulei gaila. Says, I know the astronomy so well, I can write a calendar for the whole Golus. This is on page 50 in the beginning of the Yitzhak Nechmad, if you want to follow. Amalei Abba, Avuad Reb Samlai, L'Shmuel. So he said to Shmuel, Yod Amar Hai Milsa, the Tanya beside her Iber. Do you know the secret, what they said, the secret of the Iber? They said something mysterious, like a riddle. Not like a riddle. They said, born before noon or born after noon? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. If you don't know this, you probably don't know some other stuff too. Sota Iber means the secrets of the astronomy, which was needed for Rosh Chodesh. So, what was Doilet Kaidim Chatzais Dalai Chatzais? The idea was this. In order for it to be, let's call it Rosh Chodesh, it could be the Gemara is referring to Rosh Hashanah specifically, which is also Rosh Chodesh. Okay, in order for Rosh Chodesh, we all know they announced the Maylid. Okay, the Maylid is it's a single moment in the whole world. It's not like sunrise. Sunrise is different everywhere. Sunrise in Brooklyn is different. Sunrise in Chicago is different. It changes because that has to do with the relationship between the sun and the earth, and we're on the earth. Maylid is this. It doesn't change. It's the same everywhere. The clock changes, but when they announce the Maylid is the same every single part of the world. At that moment that the Maylid is taking place, it's taking place everywhere. Yeah. In order to make a day Rosh Hashanah, there has to be at least one place in the world that all 24 hours of the day are Rosh Hashanah, are Aleph Tishrei. Okay, let's say the Maylid is smack in the middle of the day. I can't make that Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah day has to be 24 hours Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't have to be 24 hours everywhere. At the first spot on the world, there has to be one spot on the world where it's Rosh Hashanah everywhere. Now, since Rosh Hashanah begins in China, because that's the dateline, right? So as our day begins with sunset, sunset continues. You have sunset here in Brooklyn, in Los Angeles, on the Pacific Ocean. Sunset hits the coast of China. When sunset came here tonight, what's today? Monday. When sunset came here tonight, it was heralded in Tuesday. And when it gets to Los Angeles, it's also going to bring in Tuesday. And when it gets to Hawaii, it's also going to bring in Tuesday. But when it gets to China, it's going to bring in Yom Revi'i. I mean, for our county, beginning of the night, it's going to bring in Wednesday. At that point, it's going to be the first place in the world where Wednesday begins. Now let's say Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. So here it's Monday, and the sun is setting here, but it's not Rosh Hashanah yet. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It gets to LA, it's bringing in Erev Rosh Hashanah. It gets to Hawaii, it's bringing in Erev Rosh Hashanah. It gets to China, bang, it's bringing in Rosh Hashanah. Now I want to make that 24 hours of Rosh Hashanah should be after the Maylid. What would I do? I would listen to the Gabbai announce the Maylid, I write it down, and I calculate at that time that the Maylid is here at a certain hour, what time is it in China? Is it before sunset? Now, I'm in Brooklyn. Let's say I'm in Eretz Yisrael. And they announce the Maylid. And I quickly take out a pen. I want to figure out if the Maylid, if I'm making it in Eretz Yisrael. So if the Maylid is a moment before noon in Israel, then at that moment, it's a minute before sunset in China, before six, which is sunset. So if the Maylid is a minute before noon in Eretz Yisrael, or a second before noon, it's a second before sunset in China, which means the new day is completely post-Maylid in Rosh Hashanah. If in Eretz Yisrael, it's a minute after noon, then it's a minute after sunset in China, and there was already 1 minute a day, which was not under the new moon. That's the secret. We all know it. Shmuel didn't know it. Imagine that. Their secret is, the secret, the Chazal kept secret their calculations for the moon because of the Karaites, because of the Tzedakim that wanted to play around with the moon. They kept secret their calculations. Their calculation was this. If the Gabbai is announcing, not if the Gabbai announced it, but if Maylid is a minute before Chatzai Siyayim in Eretz Yisrael, because we announced Yerushalayim time, so then in China we're good. If it's a minute after, then it's no good. That Gemara is the source for the dateline. Where did the Gemara talk about dateline? No one traveled over the dateline. That's the only source in Shas for the dateline. It says, it says this inyan of the Seira Ibar, which is the secret of the Yud Ches Shais. And that is the source in the Gemara for the dateline. Now, what happened in 1942, whatever it was, when they had to figure out the dateline, there were two groups. There were those who ignored this Gemara and spoke logically. They said, look, Israel's the middle of the world. Logically, it's 12 hours away is the dateline. But the Chazon Ish said, you're arguing, you're making a poetic argument. Israel's the middle of the world. We don't base halacha on our own imagination. We base it on Chazal, on this Gemara. The Baal HaMor in this Gemara says the same shot as the Kuzari. He explains it more clearly. And therefore, based on Chazal, the dateline is there. Now, what's the logic to it? What's the logic? 18 hours away is the dateline? We'll get to that. But he's not talking about the logic yet. He's just explaining the facts. That's a very important point. It's true that this is all at the solstice when it's a perfect 24-hour day. It's also, there are 2 points. It's not precise every day of the year. It's not precise 2 days of the year, actually. And at the equinox, right? And it's also not precise in every spot at the coast of China, because the coast of China is not a straight line. It's at an angle. But nevertheless, for the calculations, this is the, so to speak, Shai Zmanias type of calculation that the Gemara is referring to. It will be interesting to see if the equal latitude is precisely 6 hours away. I never check. It's easy, it's 15 degrees per hour, so it's 90 degrees.
Wouldn't it make more sense to declare the Moloch based on China? Since that's the first
to announce in a shul based on China, that would be nice. We get the Gabbai to announce it. It'll say instead of in Yerushalayim, it'll say in China. I guess so, but you know something? The witnesses came to Yerushalayim, who declared that we saw the moon. They came to Yerushalayim. Although you're right, the Molid is an astronomical fact. It's not really observable. It's observable, but not always. The Molid is, imagine you're out of space and you're watching the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon's going around the Earth. When the Moon goes around the Earth and comes between the Earth and the Sun, that's the Molid. Now you'll tell me, but that's a solar eclipse. It's not a solar eclipse. It's only a solar eclipse if it's perfectly aligned. Most months it's not aligned. It's three-dimensional. It's higher or lower. But when you're watching from outer space, right? You're on the Enterprise and you're observing, and you see the sun, you see the earth, you see the moon coming around, and slowly it comes. When it hits a point where all the sunlight is on the back of the moon, and the face of the moon is towards Earth, is dark, perfectly dark. That's the Molid. You know, one of the most incredible miracles of the moon is that it always shows the same face to the Earth. You know, if you have a moon going around, you would think when it's on this side of the Earth, you see this side, and then you see the back side. It's not that way.
Rotation and revolution are the same.
It's an amazing thing that it's precise. The moon always looks the same. The man on the moon, if you see him, you see him all the time. There are only about a dozen human beings that ever saw the back side of the moon. Why do we say the Molid Yerushalayim? That's what we have to announce a time. We could announce that the Molid is at 7 in Yerushalayim and at 1 in China, and we could make that announcement. We announce it that way really because why do we make an announcement? We make an announcement to be Mekayim, a Me'en of the Mekudish of Bezdin. Bezdin Yerushalayim declared the Chayidish, Mekudish. So we all our references are to Yerushalayim. We could announce it New York time, but we always announce the Yerushalayim time. Anyway, this is the basic idea. What we're missing, and what the Chazon Ish struggles with, and all the Mefarshim, why did he begin by saying the first minute of Shabbos was in the Midbar? The first minute of Shabbos was in Eretz Yisrael? That wasn't the first minute. That was the 6 hours into Shabbos. No, when the Torah was given, that was the first minute of Shabbos. What relevance does that have to this whole discussion? And that's an issue. The Chazanish writes that he means just as a fact, as a historical fact, has no bearing on the calculations. We'll see that Tzedek, but has a different pshat, which hopefully we'll still get to. So this is his explanation. He didn't explain the why, which hopefully we'll get to probably not tonight, but next time. Why? Why should it be? Why should it be 18 hours, 6 hours from Eretz Yisrael? For what reason? So we'll try to understand what he says next time. First, he says two rejections of other opinions of his day. I wasn't aware of this, but historically there were people that counted the day from noon. We always know that people count the day from midnight. That's the way it is today. The people who counted the day from sunrise, that I also knew. But there were actually people from midnight. He says, Al titain olai. Don't tell me, elu sheshilu mechtzais hayayim. People that count the day, that the day changes at noon. Why would anybody do that? You know why? So you have to know, not everyone has a cup for this, but the only way to set a clock is at noon. You can't possibly figure out the top of the hour any other way unless you figure out noon. In other words, let's say you're stuck on a desert island and you want to know the, I don't know why you'd want to know, but let's say you want to know the top of the hour. You don't want to know, you know, when to get the weather report on the CBS. How do you figure out the top of the hour? There's no astronomical fact for the beginning of an hour. Hours are arbitrary. So the way clocks were always set, and until the 1880s, every town had its clock. Now we have time zones. So 12 o'clock in New York is 12 o'clock in Buffalo. But it wasn't that way. Every town had its clock and had its top of the hour. What is the top of the hour? The top of the hour is when the sun reaches its highest point. How do you know its highest point? The sun travels from east to south to west. It travels. The southmost point is the top of the hour, so to speak, top. That's why the clock, 12 o'clock, right, is top. So they would set the clock there, and it would turn.
What did they do on a cloudy or rainy day?
Well, they set it once, and it kept on rotating every 24 hours. But they couldn't tell it a cloudy or rainy day. They had to set it. That's why Chatzais Yayim is a fact. Chatzais Laila, midnight, is not, there's no fact of Chatzais Laila. When the Gemara says Stoma Chatzais, it means midday. So sometimes it means midnight, but it means, but it was because of the railroad that they, because of the railroad, which had a lot of trouble printing a schedule, since every town had its own time, that there was a convention to make a time.
Were Jews that declared the day at the
apparently not. I don't think so. Jews always went via RV biker. He's going to say that. But there were those that counted the day from high noon. Seifa Yishu B'mariv, V'ubay HaShemesh Be'eretz Yisrael, V'ubay Nivra HaRisha V'akach HaShemesh. Now this sentence can be interpreted a couple of ways. The way I would understand it, this would explain why should I do it by midday. You know why? Because China is 6 hours away. V'ubay HaShemesh Beretz Yisrael by Nivra Arishen, Akach HaShemesh. Perhaps the reason is because it's 6 hours away. So let's go by our noon, which would be the beginning of the day. Now, however this is understood, he says, it's not so. Neshahia Ar Ubali Itai. Now, light came before the sun. The sun was created on the fourth day of creation. That's what he means, Akach HaShemesh. So that originally there was a cycle of light, and then the sun. Shehayar bali ita v'ayah alayla liyishuv v'halach haseder lahagdim alayla arayayim k'ma sh'amar v'yer v'yibayker k'in hizhira ha'tayra mi'erev ad'erev tishmasu shabbatchem. So the Torah says at least twice that it begins with evening, and that's how it starts. So first of all, he rejects those who start from noon. And then the second rejection is al titayin alay be'eila tuchanim ha'mabitim goyin ve'hachochma. Very interesting. So there are some who steal wisdom. It's not stealing. They didn't mean to steal. From the time Nevuah ended, there were written documents of Chachma. And there are those who took from the Chachma and they wrote books on astronomy. And what did these people do? Some who had sinned, chila, liyamim, behepachatayra. They put China as the international dateline. The opposite of the Torah. What do you mean the opposite? He said it's the same. He says, Aloy behepuch gavur. I don't mean that they're totally different. Everyone agrees that the dateline is China. This is where I told you, it's going to say beferish, the dateline has chal siyam shu mitzin. Ah, hamach loikis, shebeinenu ubeinam, bigdimenu halayla alayayim. The difference between us and them is whether the night starts, comes first, or the day comes first. So that's the end of the rejection. Now, Vitzarech, he starts to explain why the 18 hours works as it does. So I guess we'll leave that for tomorrow night.